Welcome to our deep dive into the ministry of Elisha, and we're focusing on the story of the Shunammite woman.
Oh, very interesting.
And yeah, we're going to be looking at some really fascinating insights from Dr. John Oswalt's teaching on 2 Kings.
Okay.
So, 2 Kings, a book full of kings and prophets and some really dramatic events.
Yeah, a lot going on there.
We're going to be unpacking a story of famine, a woman who takes this huge leap of faith, and the question that lingers, are second chances even possible?
You know, it's so interesting because we often approach these stories as just like historical accounts, but Oswald really brings out how they offer us timeless wisdom about faith, about God's providence, and yes, even the potential for second chances.
Yeah, I love that. So we're talking about ancient Israel, and Elisha is known for these pretty incredible miracles. I mean, restoring a poisoned spring, multiplying a widow's oil, like those are not,
Yeah, those aren't your everyday.
no, not your everyday thing.
Absolutely. And Oswald emphasizes that these miracles weren't just random displays of power. Like, they were meant to really reveal the power of Yahweh in contrast to Baal, who was the popular god at the time.
It's almost like they're directly challenging Baal's supposed control over nature. It
Yes.
makes you think what it must have been like for the people who actually witnessed these
Oh,
miracles.
absolutely. Imagine seeing that poison spring all of a sudden become pure, or a widow's oil supply just multiply before your eyes. Those have been huge events that challenged the common beliefs of the time.
Totally. And then, of course, you have the raising of the Shunammite woman's son from the dead.
Yeah,
I mean,
lots
that
to it.
story is incredible.
That's what we
It's
did.
like this huge testament to Yahweh's authority over life and death. Can you remind us, who is this Shunammite woman?
So the Shunammite woman is first introduced in 2 Kings chapter 4, and she recognizes Elisha's connection to God. And she shows this incredible hospitality, like she provides him with a room. And in return, she receives this miracle of a son.
So it seems like she's not just passively waiting for miracles to happen to her. She's actively demonstrating her faith.
Absolutely, you're right on. And that act of faith is highlighted even further in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha warns her about this 7-year famine that's coming. Now think about this. She doesn't hesitate. She doesn't question. She immediately packs up and chooses to live in Philistia, which is the land of Israel's enemies, for the entire famine.
Wow, that's bold. I mean, that's a bold move. It
Yes.
speaks to a level of trust that goes beyond just believing in God. It's like she's putting her faith in God's guidance,
Yeah.
even when it leads her to these unexpected places.
Exactly. She exemplifies that act of faith. And it really challenges us, right? Would we have that same level of trust? Would we be willing to uproot our lives based on a prophetic warning?
It makes me think about how I respond to challenges or warnings in my own life. I think I tend to question or hesitate more than I should. What stands out to you about her actions?
You know what resonates with me is that she demonstrates this crucial element of active faith, discernment. She understands the situation and she takes the right action. She doesn't passively accept the prophecy, but she actively prepares for it. She protects her family, even if it means residing among Israel's enemies.
That's a perspective I hadn't even considered before. It's like she's showing that faith isn't just blind belief. It requires courage, planning, and a willingness to step outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
Now, this whole famine situation brings up some difficult questions, right? I
Yes.
mean, why would a loving God allow this kind of hardship?
It's a question that's puzzled theologians for centuries. It's tied to this idea of theodicy, this struggle to understand why a good God allows suffering in the world. And as Oswald points out, there's just no easy answers.
So are we meant to wrestle with this then?
Yeah, it is. And it's a question that we all grapple with. When we see suffering, how do we reconcile that with a loving God? And suffering.
It really makes you think instead of trying to find easy answers, maybe we're meant to see how, even in the middle of hardship, God might be working in ways that we just don't fully grasp.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so let's switch gears a bit. Do you remember Gehazi, Elisha's servant who got into trouble?
Oh, yeah, Gehazi. His story adds another layer to this whole idea of second chances. You know, if you remember, he was struck with leprosy for his deception.
It seemed like a pretty final consequence for his dishonesty.
Yeah.
But when the Shunammite woman comes back after the famine, she runs into Gehazi, and he's not exactly where you'd expect someone with leprosy to be.
Right. Yeah. He's in a very unexpected place.
It's a curious detail.
It is.
The text tells us he's in the king's court telling the king about Elisha's miracles. That's unexpected. It makes you wonder if things weren't as set in stone as they first seemed. What does Oswald say about this?
Well, he suggests that perhaps Gehazi repented and was healed.
Okay.
And that this healing allowed him to return to the king's court.
So maybe Gehazi got a second chance, after all. It makes you think about biblical prophecy. Is it always a predetermined, unchangeable decree, or...
Well, that's the distinction that Oswald is making. He points out that pagan prophecy works on the idea of fate.
Okay.
So the pronouncements are absolute.
Right.
But biblical prophecy is conditional.
So it depends on people's choices and actions.
Exactly.
So in Gehazi's case, maybe that leprosy wasn't so much a final sentence as it was an invitation to come back to God and change his ways and be healed.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah.
And it sheds light on other biblical prophecies as well.
Okay.
Like Oswald brings up Zechariah's prophecy that Jerusalem would never fall again.
And of course, history shows us that Jerusalem did fall multiple times.
Right, multiple times.
So how does that fit with this idea of conditional prophecy?
It suggests that while the prophecy had the potential for an enduring Jerusalem, the conditions for its fulfillment weren't met.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this changes our whole perspective on prophecy. These forever pronouncements might actually be more like opportunities to realign ourselves with God's will.
Yeah, to experience a different outcome. It's not about a rigid fate, but recognizing that our choices have consequences.
Wow, that's powerful. I think it's easy to think that some things in our lives are unchangeable, but maybe we have more power than we think.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to the king. He seems interested by Elisha's miracles, but I'm curious, does he get the deeper meaning behind them?
That's what Oswald asks.
Yeah.
It seems like the king is more into the spectacle of it all than in truly understanding God.
He's like someone who watches a magic trick, but doesn't care about the magician behind it.
Yes, a good analogy.
Yeah.
And it reflects something we see a lot even today, where people can be drawn to the extraordinary without truly wanting to connect with the divine.
It's not enough to just be impressed by miracles. We have to recognize and connect with God. But even with the king's shallow interest, there's still hope, right? The Shunammite woman's story, as told by Gehazi, offers a different perspective.
You're right. Oswald highlights that just like Elisha restored her son to life, Yahweh could also restore Israel.
Mm.
But there's a condition.
What's the condition? So there's a chance for things to be restored, but it all depends on this one thing.
Yeah, Oswald says that the restoration of Israel depends on if they will repent and believe.
Huh.
Just like the Shunammite woman had to trust Elisha, Israel needs to turn back to Yahweh and trust in his power.
It's like that idea of conditional prophecy that we've been talking about. It's like a thread running through this whole story, this potential for a good outcome. But it all comes down to the choices that people make. You know, it's not just about seeing these amazing miracles, but it's about recognizing God and then responding with faith.
Yes, and I think that's where the Shunammite woman's story is so powerful. Mm-hmm. It's a story within a story.
Right.
Tucked into Gehazi's account to the king.
Yeah.
And she's like, a little spark of hope, a reminder that even when a whole nation is turning away from God, mm-hmm. there are still people whose faith just shines through, showing that there's a chance for both the nation and individuals to be restored.
It really shows how much our choices matter. Just like the Shunammite woman chose to trust God and make a decision, we can choose faith over fear.
Yes.
And obedience over rebellion. And those choices have the power to change not only our own lives, but also the world around us.
Our choices can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us that the future isn't set. There's always a chance for things to change, for things to be made new, and for second chances.
Hmm.
It's like those dead areas in our lives that we were talking about.
Yeah.
If we're willing to give them to God, he can bring life and hope to even the most barren places.
That's a beautiful thought. And, you know, thinking back on everything we talked about today, what really stands out to me is the idea that those forever pronouncements, the things we think are unchangeable, might actually be invitations to come back to God and choose a new path.
I love that.
Yeah.
It means that we always have a choice and that God is always there waiting for us to turn back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we mess up, even when we face the consequences, there's still hope.
This whole deep dive has given me so much to think about. It's not just about history. It's about the truths woven within those stories and how they still speak to us today.
These stories about Elisha remind us that God is working even when we don't see it. He is guiding us, providing for us, and giving us opportunities to grow and be restored.
Right.
And just like he might have given Gehazi another chance, he extends that same grace to all of us.
That's a powerful way to wrap things up. It makes you wonder what dead areas in your own life might need God's touch.
Mm.
Maybe it's a relationship, a dream that's been put aside, or a part of yourself that feels lost or broken.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, just remember that God can make all things new, yeah. and he's waiting to work with you to make that happen.
It all starts with realizing we need him and then taking that step of faith, just like the Shunammite woman did.
Well, thanks for joining us today as we took this deep dive into Elisha's ministry and the amazing story of the Shunammite woman. We hope you learned something new and that you're leaving with a sense of hope and that anything is possible.
Until next time, may you all experience the power of God's grace and second chances.